We're back, Linda Cohen along with you. You know, medical emergencies can happen anytime, any place, and a healthful outcome can often mean the difference between minutes and seconds. So how do you know when you need an ambulance or not? Well, joining us this morning as part of our continuing series, What's Your Emergency, is Dr. Derek Cooney, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine, and he's the Director of Emergency Medical Services for Upstate Medical University, and Troy Hoag, the Syracuse Area Manager for Rural Metro in Syracuse. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
So there's lots of lots of different reasons to come to an emergency department, but how do you recognize if you're out and about when something truly is an emergency?
Well, we've talked about this a little bit before about when to seek care in an emergency department versus, you know, your doctor's office or urgent care. Basically, it boils down to some things are obvious, right? Someone falls down, passes out, and you don't think they're breathing. Obviously, you need to call the 911 and get an ambulance for that. If there's a major car accident or even a minor car accident, if there's people injured, obviously you need to call an ambulance for that. Some of the more subtle things, abdominal pains, harder to figure out. But
how about breathing difficulties?
Breathing difficulties is an extremely important reason
or convulsions,
to get an ambulance.
Perhaps?
Seizure is also very obvious reasons to have trained medical providers in an ambulance arriving to help you.
Sometimes an industrial accident, something like that, or if you're in severe pain,
right.
Are those the times that you would want at least consider the idea of calling an ambulance?
Exactly. And then sometimes in some rare circumstances where, you know, it's not the condition but the circumstances. So in other words, you know, this is a health problem, it's serious, but you're alone and you're incapable of caring for yourself in that scenario, and you think there's no way this is getting better, I'm getting worse, and I really need someone to come help me who's got training and can transport me to the hospital in a safe way.
So the whole idea here is you're calling an ambulance because you're in a circumstance where you're getting worse, something very serious is happening to you, and perhaps moving you or your moving would create more difficulty or problems. And also, you need some specialized care. I think, isn't that crucial, Troy?
Those are all correct. And just keep in mind that the ambulance is actually bringing a small emergency room to you. So we have medications, equipment, IVs, things like this that the paramedics will bring right to the patient in their home.
So the idea is, I think some people might have thought years ago, it's just another way of getting to the hospital, so to speak, or to an emergency department. They're just drivers and a wagon that will transport you. That's not at all the case.
That's correct. It's evolved into much more than that.
So the people who are manning it are?
Paramedics and emergency medical technicians.
So they're highly trained specialists for any kind of emergency situation.
Yes. Typically, people will refer to the ambulance getting there as sort of like the first 20 minutes of what you would get in the emergency room for care.
Wow. So that's really important to know. So that, what kinds of situations do you see where people may call an ambulance when they may not have actually needed to call an ambulance?
You know, I think it's important to point out whenever someone feels that they are in over their head and feel like they need an ambulance, that is okay, no matter what the circumstances.
So they should call.
Call us, and we will come and help them and figure it out.
But you call, excuse me for interrupting you, but you call, the way you do it is your recommendation would be call 911.
Absolutely, every time.
So then what would happen when they call 911, Dr. Cooney?
Well, when you call 911, in almost every community around here, you're going to get a county-based 911 dispatch call taker on the phone. And these are also highly trained individuals who have a very specific way of doing this. So they're not just kind of trying to understand it and come up on the fly with the right solution. There's a very, very specific way they do this. So they're going to ask you very specific questions, and they really need you to give the answer to those questions. The main thing, and this is the hardest part, is to stay calm, listen to the call taker, don't hang up on them until they said it's okay to hang up, because they may have additional information for you or need more information from you. Make sure that the right help gets there as fast as possible.
So I also came up with or read somewhere that you want to be able to give all of the crucial information to the dispatcher, 911 name, address, phone number of the person, what have you, and their location. And you need to really wait, because they may actually have specific instructions for you as to what to do to help the person while you're waiting for the ambulance.
Right. We call those pre-arrival instructions, and they may be simple things about gathering medication lists, or it might be something as crucial as how to perform CPR until the ambulance can get there.
Wow. So in your experience, I kind of interrupted you. What have you seen where people call and they really may not have needed an ambulance?
I think the biggest thing is when there are other means for transportation and they call an ambulance for whatever reason, because it's easy, or things like someone who needs to get their prescription refilled. Sometimes we'll get calls for it, yes. So there are real needs for people to go to a doctor's appointment or get their medications filled or things like that, but it doesn't necessarily require the expertise of an ambulance to get them there.
And I think the point that you made, Dr. Cooney, which I think is crucial, is that when you really do have a serious emergency that requires an ambulance, there's some benefits that you're getting that people may not even realize. You are beginning the treatment, as you said, the first 20 minutes of treatment, perhaps, right, that you would be getting in an ED.
Just like Joy Hoag said. But also, you know, there's another a public health concern here, and it's just a real thing you should think about, is if you do have an emergency that's distracting and upsetting to you or the person you're trying to get to the emergency department, you're going to be a lousy driver. And, for example, if somebody had a seizure and you put them in the back of the car and you drive in the emergency department, they have a seizure again, they're not breathing, they're turning blue, you're looking in the rearview mirror instead of looking forward, you may cause an accident, delay their care further, and injure yourself and other people on the road. So certainly when there's a serious emergency, that is not the time to try to drive yourself or your loved one or family or friends to the emergency department. That's time to get help to you and let the professionals start care right away and then safely transport you to the emergency department.
If you happen to be an individual with someone who you recognize is in an emergency situation, and you're a family member or someone who's relating, caring for that person, can you go in the ambulance along with them? What generally happens then?
Yes, we actually encourage that because there's more information that those people can provide to the caregivers. They will typically ride up front and not in the back where we're caring for the patient, but we do like to bring those people along.
And they generally, I mean, let's say it was myself and a child or myself and my husband, I would be able to then help the EMT people understand various issues, and I should be prepared with things like knowing the medications that person's on or what other issues, obviously what has occurred.
Certainly, especially if the patient's not able to communicate for themselves. You can often give a good history, what the medications are, who their doctor is, if this type of event has ever happened before.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important.
It is.
To accompany the person all the way to the emergency department in the ambulance if possible.
Yes.
And that's encouraged, I guess, was the question.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And I just want to make that point that, you know, because you're dealing with very very specialized, trained individuals, it's important to give them the same information you would give the physician when you arrive, because they need to know the same information. And the nice thing about that is they have a way of assimilating that, making the story more clear and concise. And you'll see when you get to the emergency department, they talk directly to us and relay that information for you so that in your time of distress and need, it's a little less difficult.
And what happens if there's a problem getting, how is the decision made to where you go?
Well, you know, it's always the patient and family member's decision where they ultimately go. But remember, these people, these individuals who we're working with, pre-hospital providers, they know a lot about the system. They know which hospitals specialize in which type of care, and they can really be a great resource to make that decision about where you need to go to get the best, most appropriate, specific care for your particular emergency.
Well, I want to thank you. I think this is always, when you're under the gun like that and you're in an emergency, you really need this kind of information. You need to have that reflex to call 911 and have them help you through the process. So I thank you. It sounds like we've got some wonderful care out there. Thanks so much for coming in today. My guests have been Dr. Derek Cooney, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine at Upstate Medical University, and Troy Hoag, Syracuse Area Manager for Rural Metro, an ambulance company in Syracuse. Thank you. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on air right after this break, and you're listening to FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.